We've heard the term that it takes ordinary to become extraordinary. Did you know that's a scriptural truth? Let's discover it. The Encouraging Word. Ordinary people is today's message from Dr. Don Wilton. And as we open God's Word together, the book of Acts, in just a few moments, I pray that you and I would be open to what God wants to teach us through the Word itself. Dr. Don's quick to say it's not what he has to say about the Bible, but how the Bible is going to come together in our understanding of it to speak directly to us. As we talk, we love to talk with you as well. Right now, we've really discovered the opportunity of having a conversation and a prayer request answered over the phone is a blessing. So if you'd like to have someone pray with you or for you, call us. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I want you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to Acts chapter 1. I don't know. I mean, I've said this many times before, but I don't know that God has ever put a more simple message in my heart. What you're going to hear today is not profound. It's not going to be a theological mind bender, because it's a message about you and me. It's just really as simple as that. So here in the book of Acts, there is something that happened here that I don't want to let go, because I see this here today. I see this as I look through the lens of the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry. You are listening now, and you are one of hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of people around this country, and you're listening. And you may be in Montana. Listen carefully. You may be in California. You may be on a submarine serving our nation. Listen to this. This is incredible stuff. In Acts chapter 1, all I'm going to do is look at verse 13 and 14. So I want you to take your Bibles and see what I've seen. Because every time I open the Bible, or most times at least, I see lists of the names of people. Now I'm going to confess to you today, especially in the Old Testament, I'm telling you now, hard enough pronouncing names. But many times I'll just read these names and I'll just gloss over them because they're just a bunch of names. God is not just glossing over a bunch of us here today. Every one of us is uniquely different. You know how much I love you. We love each other individually, like parents love their children. You know, Karen and I often talk about our three grown ones or our grandkids. Every one of them are uniquely different. Sometimes you try to figure out, I absolutely know when behavior is absolutely unseemingly and bad, there's no question they came from their mother. When they are just angels, they obviously came from me. We've got that sorted out in our family, you know. But isn't it amazing how you can have in the same family? Come on now, how many of you identify when I tell you, you got kids, you love them, you know all your heart, but your kids are as different as chalk is from cheese. All right, so watch here. Verse 13 of the book of Acts. And when they had entered, they went to the upper room where they were staying. Watch this. Peter and John and James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Verse 14, all of these were of one accord. They were of the same heart, devoting themselves to prayer, and they were gathered together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the church family. By the way, that word in the Greek text, brothers, sisters, refers to the gathering of all of God's people together. Men, women, boys, and girls. When you study the scriptures, the interesting thing about it is there's always people involved. In fact, you can go to some of the most staggering statements. Luke chapter 16, I wrote a book about it, The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death. Here's the rich man who died and went to hell, and he begged for someone to go back from the dead to speak to his five brothers who were still alive. And Abraham said to him, they've got Moses and the prophets. Thank you very much. What he said is, my chosen method of evangelism, my chosen method of going beyond, the way I do this is through ordinary people. So a couple of things I want to say to you about these people here today. Just, I want to isolate this. The first of all, I want to say to you, right here at the cusp of God doing something incredible, which we are studying about, which we know about, that they were ordinary, just like us. So I want to do something with you for just a moment. I don't think I've ever done this. I want to take you just on a little bit of a journey through some of these people. Who were they? Peter. Well, what about Peter? Well, a lot we can say about Peter because he was one of the more prominent of the believers. And he liked it that way, by the way. He was an alpha male. He wanted to be first in line all the time. He was brash. I think if the truth were known, everybody around would have actually said he was a little bit of a, like a bully. In a, you know, my way or the highway kind of bully. He was certainly a man who denied Jesus at Jesus' greatest hour of need. Any Peters out here? You know someone right now who's brash, bully, really when the chips are down, talks about it, comes to church. Now hold on a minute, God used him to go beyond. Andrew. A lot can be said about Andrew, but the one thing you can say about Andrew is that he lived in the shadow of his brother Peter. Have you ever looked at your family, for example, and you have, you know, all these brothers and sisters, and there's at least one of your children that you love just as much as him, but they live in the shadow? Do you know that I've gotten to know some of you so well? You precious people, some of you are shadow dwellers. It's kind of like you always sitting under a tree somewhere. We've got to go and find you. Not out front. It's not necessarily a negative thing. By the way, Andrew was a very simple person. Which there was a beauty in his simplicity. Well, what about James? There were two sons of thunder, James and John. Well, James was the most prominent one known as a son of thunder. I've often said to myself, I wonder what that means. It's kind of, I think James was one of those, you want a piece of me? Are you talking to me or chewing a brick? He loved the Lord. I want you to get a hold of these ordinary people. Do you know one of the biggest, I don't know whether I should say this. Do you know one of the biggest challenges any church faces is from a man in a congregation who fancies himself as a son of thunder? It's just very big for his boots. Do you know some people are so important that they strut even while they're sitting down? I wasn't looking at any of you. I'm just saying this. I'm just saying this, right? James. John, the other one. John, we know quite a lot about John. He was larger than life. So I think John was somewhat boisterous. We know that he was very zealous. By the way, to be zealous was a wonderful spiritual quality, but man, it can be aggravating. Have you ever had someone who loves the Lord so much, every time you talk to them, they feel a need to quote a verse of scripture? It's like, have you ever met someone all the time, you know, you go and talk to them, well, why don't we just pray together? You know, I was on the phone the other day. I was driving my motor car somewhere, and I was just arriving to where I need to be, and I had to stop there, and I was in a little bit of a hurry, and I spoke to a friend, and we got to the end of our conversation. I said, I've got to go now, and he said, well, can I pray for you? Well, excuse me. Of course, pray for me. I love that. Biggest mistake I made. You know, 10 minutes later, I'm sitting in my motor car waiting for this guy. Would you say amen? Would you get over this thing? It's like those people, you go to the restaurant, you make the biggest mistake of your life because you ask them to say grace, and they start in Genesis chapter 1. And here you are, you got barbecue ribs and they're getting cold, and he's praying right through the Old Testament. It's just like some of you, man. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. I'll look over this side here. What about Philip? You know, Philip was an interesting character because he was very quick to involve someone else. He first went and found, in this case, his brother. Have you ever been around someone in the church? You go and ask them to do something, and the first thing they do is turn around and suggest you get somebody else as well. Well, go and do it yourself. But it's a good thing. Right? Always very quick to pass the buck, so to speak, you know? Well, I need to go and get someone else. Well, just why don't you do it? These are not negative attributes. They personality things.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and we will be right back with the rest of today's message in just a moment. Please don't go away. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you of this very unique, especially in this season of our lives of 2020, this wonderful resource called Faith in the Midst of Crisis. We also have Dr. Don's Defying the Odds book. Both of these are available right now, and we'll give you the complete details in just a minute. But if you're interested, visit us at tewonline.org and discover more. Or if you'd like, you can give us a call about getting your copy at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message.
God used these people to go beyond. Let's move. Nathaniel? What can be said about Nathaniel? But I'll tell you one thing about him. There is a real sense in which he carried a lot of prejudice in his heart. Can any good thing come from there? Have you ever been around a Christian man or a woman that you can talk to them about the Lord Jesus and about this and about that, but as soon as you start getting into the culture and the race thing, they begin to back off? I think Nathaniel, his prejudice was there. We're all prejudiced. Do you know that? All of us. We all battle with that. Every single one of us battles with prejudice. Loving all people the same, equally. Believing in all people, equally. Matthew was a tax collector in his former life. I'm telling you, as a believer, Matthew never escaped the fog of superstition. He had worked for the enemy. Have you ever been around a fellow believer that used to, and it's like that little tag just doesn't seem to leave them? So there was like a suspicion related him. Thomas, well, a lot of things can be. Thomas was the doubter. Isn't that just like all of us? How we doubt I mean, deep inside, I mean, is Jesus, you know, I know that I believe, but, you know, I just, yes, I do. I know he is the, I know that, but if, how, we all go through that all the time. Doubting is part of the fabric of our makeup. It's our human disposition. Thomas was a doubter. What about James? Now, James was known as James the Less, L-E-S-S. And it's interesting about James because hardly anything's known about him. I like to call James, James the Obscure. Where was he? Where was James? Do you know a believer right now? I mean, you know, it's not about whether or not he or she loves the Lord, but where are they? Where are you? Are you hiding under a rock or something? That's James. And God used him to go beyond. What about Simon? Love Simon because Simon was known as Simon the Zealot. And by the way, Simon was only mentioned three times in all of Scripture. There's a word that I think I use. I hope you all use it. He was the besotted one. I mean, he just, it didn't matter what it was. I think Simon just cottoned on it and he went all out. You ever met someone like that? Doesn't matter what they're doing, even if it's for 2 minutes, they go all out. It's like, bom, bom. I mean, they even eat their food like that. They don't eat food, they attack it. Well, Simon the Zealot. Thaddeus. Not a well-known one of the disciples, Thaddeus. He was in many ways, you know, many people attribute the book of Jude, by the way, the book of Jude, one of the shortest in the New Testament. Most scholars believe that Thaddeus most likely was the author under the leadership of the Spirit of the book of Jude. And one thing that you can say about Thaddeus is that he had a kind of childlike humility. He wasn't just a humble man, it was almost childlike. Oh, what about Mary Magdalene? She was there. Well, we know quite a lot about Mary Magdalene. Luke chapter 8 tells us that 7 demons were cast out of her. Some people have suggested that she lived a life of ill repute. Some have suggested in some of the writings that she was one of the street ladies. Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think Mary, the mother of Jesus, how much can we talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Humble, quiet. You know, don't you love when we get to Christmas time and the Holy Spirit comes upon her and she's with child, and the angel makes the announcement to her, and she pondered these things in her heart. Isn't it? It's just so serene. I think Mary, the mother of Jesus, was just this quiet, lovely lady. Who else was there? Well, Martha was there. There's no doubt Martha would have been there. You want to talk about Martha, the one who anointed Jesus? Humble. What about Mary, who was there alongside? Some people would have said she was the jealous sister. You ever met a fellow believer who's jealous of what you do? It's real. Who doesn't go through jealousy, envy? I mean, deep down, you know, right here in your tummy. It's like, I wish, you know, well, who, you know, why did you get to do that? You know, I'm Ruth, commonly called Jesus' sister, part of the family. There was Rebecca. What about the woman of Sychar? What about the woman at Simon the Pharisee? I mean, there's just about a whole chapter of the Bible written about her. What about the woman who touched the garment of Jesus in the crowd, who had just such an extraordinary, simple, reaching out, unassuming faith, a gentle spirit in many ways? Excuse me, what about the woman caught in adultery? You remember how those Pharisees dragged her in? I mean, don't kid yourself, folks. They didn't kind of bring her in a motor car or someone's van. They dragged her by the hair because they had in mind to execute her, stone her to death, prove a point. They were going to confront Jesus, and they bring in this woman and they throw her and said, "Look at her. We caught her in the act of adultery." And Jesus writes something on the ground and says, "Well, who's going to be the first one?" And all of a sudden, these accusers realize, and Jesus, here we've got this incredible demonstration of the power of God's forgiveness and His love and His grace. I think she was there. I think she was right there. And God used her to go beyond such an ordinary person. I mean, ordinary. What about the woman with the spirit of infirmity? Or what about Joanna? You want to talk about Joanna? We know about her. She was the wife of Caesar, who was the manager in Herod's household. This was someone who was well acquainted with the evilness of this heinous dictator. I think she was there. I think she was. Or what about Susanna? Folks, where do we stop here? The Bible says these people gathered together. These are the people that let worship lead. These were the people that witnessed and experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. These were the people who fell at the feet of Jesus. These were the people who said, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want." You see, not only were they ordinary like us, but they were sinners just like us. Every one of them. The Bible tells us clearly, folks, Romans chapter 3. In your own private time, read chapter 3 of the book of Romans and verse 9 through verse 24, culminating with that great passage. All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why all people are welcome in this place. Everybody, you are welcome here. You know why? Because these ordinary people, us, we ordinary people, sinners, just like us, they were forgiven just like us. They were forgiven just like us. Here's something I want you to know about me. I'm just an ordinary person like all of us, and I'm just a sinner like all of us. And I'm just forgiven just like all of us who are willing to come to the Lord Jesus and confess our sin and repent before Him. You know, there's something about these ordinary people. They were powerfully used, just like us. I've noticed scores and scores more people right here rising up and volunteering and saying, "I'll do it." God's not asking us to go to this place and that place. He's just asking us to say, "I'll do it." I'm willing to welcome others. I'm willing to pray, ask God. I'm willing to give. Doesn't matter whether you have a great deal or whether you don't. God uses ordinary people, beginning with a widow's mite. I'm willing to do that. You mean, Lord, you can use my $100, my $1,000, my $100,000, my millions of dollars? You mean you could use? Yep, I'm willing to give. I'm willing to send. I'm willing to be part of a movement. You know how many people? We're a sending church. You know where we send people to? To the aisles of the church to shake hands, to one of the entrances to tell someone, welcome, so happy to see you today. That's where God sends ordinary people like you and me. That's going. That's doing. That's giving. Life group leaders, that's what you're doing. Saying, Lord, here I am. Ordinary people.
What a powerful message. And perhaps right now you're a little frustrated because you can't serve, you can't give, you can't get involved like you used to. But God can use you right now to do this one thing. Pray for the people that right now need to give their heart to Christ. Perhaps you have been tuning in and you've heard more than just this wonderful South African brogue from Dr. Don. You've heard the word of God and it's become evident to you the truth. God loves you as a plan for your life, but you need to give your life to Jesus.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today. And forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Now, the Lord has spoken to you through our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, today. I pray that you would let us take it to the next step. Let us put some free resources in your hands. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ or rededicated your life to Christ, these resources will help you grow in a wonderful way. They're free for the asking if you call us at 866-899-WORD and let us know you gave your heart to Christ. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online as well at tewonline.org, where you'll discover opportunities to connect for prayer.
We believe in the power of prayer. We all know of someone who stands in the need of prayer. But what about you today? Do you need someone to pray for you? What concerns you today? Is something or someone weighing heavy on your heart? Call us at 866-899-WORD. We're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 866-899-WORD. All prayer calls are confidential. We would love to pray for you. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for now, but let's stay connected online at tewonline.org.